John chapter 6 is where we will begin today. A passage in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and then back to Leviticus and Exodus. As always, if our Lord does not help, we accomplish nothing today. Helping me and helping you. We got hearts in the old man that's naturally opposed to everything spiritual. Constant warfare. And you have to fight in prayer, meditation, and in the hearing of the word. We begin reading with verse number 48 in a few minutes. And I hope by the Lord's help that I can, from Scripture, prove to you God's protective care of His word. It's sealed up and shall abide always. Now you will be through with your Bible at death. You're not going to carry it with you, because there you will be in the presence of the living Lord. What if I don't make it to heaven? You'll still be in the presence of the living Lord. You mean he's in hell? Yes, that's exactly what the scriptures teach. Psalmist said, if I ascend up into the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. See, that's one of the things that will make hell what it is. You're in the presence of the Lord, the one that you rejected, one that you would not bow to, one that you fooled around on the verge of and never entered. Pray with me if you would, please. Our Father, the Lord Jesus said that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from thy mouth. But we do not have the ability to break the word, the bread. Thou, Lord Jesus, must do it as you did there to the disciples. You took bread, you blessed it, you broke it, all symbolizing that broken body that you one day would have. My Father, help that we continue to strive getting above religion and hearing thee, fellowshipping with thee, faithfully serving. Now, Lord, as we open the book, thy word, inspired, God breathed, infallible. Open our eyes to it. Give us an understanding heart. And then may it so permeate our body that our hands will handle nothing except that which is holy. Our feet will carry us no place except where you lead. Have these dear ones this day, Lord, your children out there searching for a church, longing for a word from thee. Help them. And do give wisdom, clarity of thought, right presentation of thus saith the Almighty God. All for thy great name's sake and the honor of Christ, we pray in his name. Amen. John 6:48. I am. You'll often read that. I am. He was the one in the bush. Lord, who do I tell him that sent me? You tell him, I am. If they ask for my name, I am the door. I am the shepherd. Christ Jesus, the great I am, the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus answered, said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You've got to get to the spiritual meaning of all that he said here. Unlike the Jews that could see no further than the literal. I am the bread. When he said that, all they could think about would be the bread on the table that is set before them. No discernment, no Spirit of God to open their eyes and teach. Even the disciples were blind until given eyes to see. They had departed and were traveling to another place. And as I traveled, Christ Jesus said unto them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Here's natural reasoning, natural thinking, and natural speaking. It's because we forgot to take bread. we have no bread. They were as the Jews, if left to themselves. But Jesus said, why are you reasoning? Because you have no bread? Is that what you're doing? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand, is your hearts hardened? How many loaves did you give me that we fed thousands? And then they realize he's not talking about natural bread. When he said leaven. But he's talking about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Another incident, Christ said, those of you that do not have a sword, sell your coat and get one. And one of them said, Lord, here too, swords. And Jesus said, it is enough. Knowing all the time that he was not talking about a weapon of war that you would fight in hand-to-hand combat. But he's just going to leave them alone again and see where their thinking will lead to. And sure enough, in the garden, one of them picked up a sword. Jesus said, we need the sword, therefore he must mean that we use it. And he swung at one of the soldiers' head. And dodging, he only ended up with having his ear cut off. And Jesus said, put up your sword. When I told you to get swords, I wasn't talking about a natural weapon. Mr. Philpott, J.C. Philpott, passed away in 1860-something. In the last years of his preaching there, he had departed from the Church of England and had joined the strict Baptist. He was just a wrong preacher. And he often spoke about the difference between natural religion and spiritual religion. One may learn. There are many learned professors and many wise doctors in the law, the Word of God, that understand the literal meaning of Scripture. They can explain it correctly. They can divide and make all the connections from the historical sense of the text, but they're ignorant of the rich vein that lies beneath the text, beneath the surface of the Word of God. What was true in the 1800s, even more so today, you find this prevalent. No better example of the learned professors and the doctors of the law than Pharisees in our day. They take everything literal. And they set up their bounds to keep. Some of them have sheep in there, I'm certain. But they put up the fences to keep the goats in so they can maintain a large membership. They understand the literal meaning of the word. Jesus took the literal sense, the law of Moses, and the meaning that the Pharisees thought that they knew and understood. And he took the law of Moses that they knew so well, and he brought it over into the spiritual sense that lay beneath the surface of the written word. Moses said, all of you are going to your cabinets and you're counting out all the seed of your spices so that you can tithe correctly. You're doing everything that the law says in the literal, but you can't get beyond the literal. Moses said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not murder. Well, that's easy enough to know what he's talking about, except he said, now, there's more to it than you taking a gun and killing somebody. If you hate, you're the same as a murderer. If you look to lust on a woman, you are an adulterer. The great apostle, he had that God-given sight to see beyond the literal text and take the events of life, the journeys of God's children in the Old Testament, and he could make present-day application of what it all meant. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10. Now, I may not have made a lot of sense or no sense at all to some of you. I hope it's you're getting, you're understanding what I'm trying to set before you. You can teach a man Greek, Hebrew. You can send out your students that graduated from your seminary and you taught them the scriptures. And they rightly divide and they rightly declare what's written, but they can't get beyond the written word. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. Remember John 6, I am the bread. If you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood, then you are not a child of God. Paul's talking about the Old Testament, what it meant, verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things, whatever happened to Israel in their journeys, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened. Everything in the Old Testament is an ensample, an example for us. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. I am the bread. Do not be as Israel were throughout their journey. They'd find water. Day later, they'd be complaining. They had been given manna, bread from heaven, and they weren't satisfied with that. Don't be like them, Paul said. They committed fornication. They sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. What's on your schedule this afternoon? What are you going to do? Now, I know some things are necessary. You eat. You might walk. But if we just come, sit down, take it in, and when the amen is said, we all get up to go about to play. And God destroyed them. 23,000. One day, our Lord is the bread. The manna is a type of bread from heaven. It is a type of the Lord Jesus. Now, if God has put such emphasis upon His Word, you don't take it in and 2 minutes after the service ends, it's all gone. You never apply it. You never put it to use. Psalm 138:2. God has magnified thy word. His word. What you got on your laps, I hope. What you're following along when we read together, I trust. This book, God has magnified it above all thy name. The entirety of God's character is all wrapped up in His Word. If any part of this old book, be it as small as a jot or tittle, if it could fail, one of those, till heaven and earth pass, one jot shall not in no wise pass from the law until all is fulfilled. So if any part of this book fails, none of it is of any value. If you submit to some of it, but other things, nah, we've got freedom, we've got liberty. God God has magnified this old book, His Word, above His name. And His name includes all His attributes, everything. Wisdom, power, love, faithfulness, all of them. Every attribute of God is combined to carry out the fulfillment of every providence God sends your way. What do you think of the book? What do you think of heaven's bread? You sit down and you eat and you go play. Or do you at least try to place some importance upon the book? How much do you read this week? Sometimes it's not the amount, though. I don't want you to think that. What was your attitude when you sat down to something that God has set so high? Can you get by a day? Sometimes providence will hinder you so that you cannot pick up this book, but it won't be every day. If you have an appetite to get to the table three times a day, where's the appetite to get to the bread of God? Of what value is this old book? Are you sensing anything of its importance? Well, there's another thing about the Word of God also. Another sense in which the Word, His Word, has been magnified above His name. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. You got a literal book. Inspired. That's to bring you to a living word. Pharisees couldn't get there. The learned doctors can't get there. Isaiah, Job, they talked about the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of the secret place. Beneath the surface of the book, there's treasures buried bountifully. But it takes the Spirit of God enabling you to get there. The heavens declare the glory of God, but not to the extent that He can be seen in His Word. And now, I want to get to the heart of the message on how protective God is of His Word. If it is not of great value to you, God will seal it up where you can't get anything from it. Jesus Christ is the living Word. He is the bread of heaven, but He can be seen in the type of the manna. I am the bread which came down. God sent manna down heaven's bread to feed his children. Now turn with me to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, verse 9. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Now let's get beyond that which is written. Let's get beyond the letter. Let's see if God will show us one of those treasures in dark places. You go there and you mine out a precious gem. The dew fell, and the manna fell upon it. God prevented it from being contaminated by the world. If God is not leading you out of the world, as John said, I read to you about the door, and God shut the door. If the world maintains a strong hold on you, then you're not going to obtain, and God's not gonna drop this manna down into a heart that thinks lightly of his word. Do you think that God is less protective today of heaven's manna than he was back there? Don't cast pearls before swine. They'll trample them underfoot. They are no value to them. Then they'll turn and rend you. Don't try forcing religion on anybody. At the first sign of their rejection of anything you might have to say, let it go. God's too jealous of his name, of his book. And so that manna, that holy heavenly bread would not be contaminated. God sent the dew to protect it. Don't cast that which is holy unto dogs. Christ is the great pearl of great price. You wouldn't give a $50,000 diamond to a toddler to play with, or a valuable sapphire or ruby. They don't know what it is. And before heaven's manna falls in your heart, now listen, Deuteronomy 32:2, God said, my speech shall distill as dew. Before God will drop manna in your heart, there'll be that heavenly dew to protect it. Take heed how you hear. If you grow into being a careless hearer, God will prevent you from hearing. You think lightly of the book God's given, God will take it away from you. Mark 4, take heed what you hear. You come in here with an unprepared heart. You leave without heaven's manna falling down inside your soul. You come in without an appetite, you don't eat. unless it's a rare occasion where God invades your territory that you didn't think about coming in, just getting there. Your regard for the book, which is Christ, how you hear, what you hear, if it's not what it should be, God will keep heaven's manna in heaven. Break up your fallow ground. Do all you can in preparation before you get here so that the good seed, the word of God, is not sown among thorns. Children, don't go to hell from the pew. Before the mother of our Lord ever became that earthen vessel to carry the humanity of God in her body, God's speech distilled in her heart to prepare her for the living word. And the angel meets her and says, "Hail, thou highly favored of God. Thou shalt conceive and bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus." Mary said, "How shall this be?" And the angel said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee." And God prepared her. To become that vessel. And it was impossible for that conceived seed not come to full term and be delivered. It was impossible. God, not only in her heart, but God took a man and prepared him for the reception of the angel's words. And then there would be that man to care for, labor, and provide. In discipline. But heavens do fail. Thou, son of David, fear not to take Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And to all the chosen children and seed of God, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, there will come a time in every one of them's hearts where in repentance they cry for forgiveness. And heavens knew the speech of God falling will have fixed a heart for the reception of the living word. Christ in you do you know sure you do you ladies even more than I that you must be careful of what you take in your system if you are carrying a baby. What you digest go into the bloodstream. Okay, so you were careful. You ate right. Did all that you could do. But now, what about those children that God gave you? Is there still the same effort put forth? And you digesting heaven's food, and you are training them to be receptive on that you tell them about God. No heart unprepared, or one that's not prepared by the Spirit of God, will ever have heaven's dew falling on it. Children, you've got to get out of this carelessness in hearing. Heaven's supreme being will not be given to you with an unprepared heart. And how you live through the week is evidencing to God the nurture, if you claim to be a Christian, of Christ Jesus being formed in you. But to every chosen seed, heaven's dew will fall, and that little grain of wheat, kernel of corn, will fall on that ground. And one day it'll spring up, producing fruit. Are you bearing fruit for Him? How long has it been since there's been a word of God to you? When last did He have something to say to you? He sendeth forth His commandment upon the earth, and His word runneth swiftly. Now I want you to get honest with yourself. Is that true in your heart? You know anything about that morning dew falling, preparing your heart for the reception of the Word of God that day? Ahead of manna falling within any heart, dew, God distills dew as speech. Mary, you're going to have a child. She's prepared for that. Joseph, you're not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. His heart was prepared. What of you? God's word going out of His mouth. It shall accomplish the purpose for which He sent it. But what bothers me is God taking His word and sealing you up to condemnation? Is it a savor of death to some of you, or of life to life? That which God is pleased to do and prosper in is His Word falling in the hearts of His children. I just want you to be honest with yourself. Nobody else knows about it. I don't even know about it. God prospering His Word in your heart. Christ, the bread of heaven, that manna, will only fall upon the dew, and there it is preserved. And in you, the Word of God brings forth, because God has honored His book, His Word, above His name. One last, Exodus 16. Exodus 16, verse 12, beginning. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, here's one of those little nuggets buried. When the dew was gone up from the upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. So the dew had to evaporate, God calling it back up into the heavens. And when it did, then you could see the manna. God kept manna from falling directly on this old wicked world. And then God covered that manna with a blanket to preserve it, that it would come forth and produce that whereunto God sent it. So off the ground it lay, but above it there was a second dew that had covered it up. Just God protecting His Word that He's honored above His name. Our God is a jealous Father about all His children. But He had only one perfect Son. And for that Son's honor and for His glory, God will seal upon every heart that heavenly manna. He'll fix your heart by dew falling, implanting the Word of God on that dew, and then God will cover it up to protect that you don't lose it when you go out. The Lord Jesus asked a group of religious folk, what do you think the Lord of that vineyard is going to do? To the husbandman that killed the heir, just so they could have his inheritance. And out of their own mouth, condemnation and judgment, they said, he will miserably destroy those wicked men. Lord, it's good that we be here. Why don't you let us build 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And heavens rang out, Peter, this is my beloved son. They looked around and there stood only the Lord Jesus. Though Moses and Elijah were 2 of my choice servants throughout the old economy, don't you dare put them on the same level with my son. What are you doing about the Son of God in your life? What are you nourishing life within upon? If God thought that much of heaven's manna, then he thinks that much more of the one that manna represents. Jesus Christ always did those things that pleased his Father. And he always was warning. God the Father was always warning folk that they better take heed of their treatment of that beloved son. If God thought that much of him, you better be careful with him. And how many professing Christians, how large is the multitude that claim to be a child of God, that Christ has no part or place in their life? A perfect son, heaven's manna, heaven's bread, protected by the distilling of the dew, the word of God falling. One day, God the Father put the church above his son. And he put his son in the place of the church, his bride. And he took her sin. It was God the Father that cried out, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow." If Jesus Christ did that for the church, you rest assured you're going to be held strictly accountable for all your words and your deeds. Wrongdoing or right living. If God turned his back on his son, but has now raised him to the highest pinnacle in glory, you better be cautious of what you do with the living word, as can be revealed in the written word. You dare approach this book with your own mentality and your own understanding, you gain nothing then. You dare shame the one that you've said to others, "He is my Lord." You dare to shame him by words or careless living. God put Christ in your place, put you in his place. He raised up one that ate bread with him, one that had walked with him for 3 years, heard him pray, heard him preach, might even have preached to others when Christ sent them out two by two. But God raised up that man, let him walk with Jesus, let him learn Jesus. Yet God the Father left him to his own fallen nature of greed. One day that wickedness within and that greed within overtook, and he betrayed the Holy Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. Oh, we think that was bad, but what are we doing? God raised up that chosen nation, so self-righteous. Folks, if you want to hear some of the strongest language from the lips of our Lord pronounced against wicked men in religion, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the chief scribes, let's go read the Gospels. And he had a harsh tongue because of their self-righteousness. They were content to live only with the letter of the law, and the letter, this old book, will kill you. It takes the Son of God, the life of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God led men of old as they penned down this book, without error, without fault. The Spirit of God led them, but the theme of the book is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that righteous crowd angered by his life, by his example, and by his teaching. It infuriated them, and they cried out, if you release Jesus Christ, you're not a friend of Herod. And they by wicked hands crucified the Lord of glory. They had Pilate release the murderer, insurrectionist, Barabbas. And they demanded the life of the Holy Son of God. What do you think Jesus said God's going to do to that bunch of wicked men that killed the heir to get his inheritance? He will, their own mouth condemned them. He will miserably destroy those wicked men. There's a special place in hell for Judas Iscariot, a special place in hell for the scribes and Pharisees that had the living word walking around, taking the written word teaching. And folk, it'd be better on you to go to hell from any place than from the pew where Christ is declared. They had heaven's bread, the Pharisees, that is, in their very midst. But the dew of heaven had not fallen on their hearts to prepare them for the reception of manna. Little children, take heed how you hear. Out of the book the living judge will pass sentence on you, and the book will either justify you or condemn you in that day. Are you protective of that God gives you? Or will it evaporate shortly after the dew has ascended back? What think you of Christ? How do you handle him? What will you do with the Lord Jesus? God has magnified his word above his name. That's the written word. You get the spiritual content from it. And that's the living person that is the Word of God. What are you going to do with Jesus? May God help us to be a right and honest judge within our own hearts about ourselves. If it's been some time since heaven's moisture where your heart dampened the soil, would you run to him and plead and stay with him until one more time you hear his voice from the pages of his book? You young ones, the teacher demands you pay attention in class. God demands you pay attention in here. And I don't want to lose you. When you're grown, don't want to see the world grab you and take you. I want to see you become a living epistle of Jesus. May the Lord add his blessings to his word.